Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked on Wolves. Today on the show, the Timberwolves have added another player, the 20th player to the roster for training camp, and it's an NBA veteran with experience on Tim Connelly's Denver Nuggets over the past couple of seasons. We'll talk all about the PJ Dozier signing today, as well as two more rotation players as part of the preseason roster preview. It's all coming on the show here today. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked on Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Monday, everybody. Hopefully you had a fantastic weekend. And a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every single day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find us. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And my account at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Today, we're going to cruise right along in our preseason roster preview series. We're spending anywhere from a third of a show to a full show on every player on the Timberwolves roster. We are just now getting into the rotation players, the players expected to be rotation players, I should say, this season. But I want to start the show by talking about yet another roster addition. The Wolves now have a roster full of 20 players heading into training camp. And, you know, even though several of them are non-guaranteed contracts, most of them have NBA experience, you know, the ones that aren't rookies. It's not like they're signing guys who are, you know, strictly G League type guys. These are mostly players who were, you know, second round draft picks with NBA experience and a little bit of G League experience, or in the case of this most recent signing, some legit NBA rotation experience. PJ Dozier, the former Denver Nugget, has joined the Wolves on, presumably, the team has not announced that. This was first reported by Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN on Saturday morning, afternoon. And presumably an Exhibit 10 deal, some sort of a non-guaranteed deal. I think Darren Wolfson of Score North in the Twin Cities did report that it's an Exhibit 10. But obviously the Wolves have a full roster of guaranteed deals. And then they have several partially guaranteed deals. Jalen Noel, Austin Rivers, Naz Reid are all partial guarantees. And then they've got the existing Exhibit 10 guys and the two-way players. So this is now the 20th player. PJ Dozier, if you're not familiar, spent the last two and a half seasons, or really three seasons, with the Nuggets. His first season in Denver, he was a two-way player back in the 1920 season. The Nuggets converted him to an actual NBA standard contract in 2021, so 2 years ago. He played in 50 games and actually started six games, was a kind of a fringe rotation guy for the Nuggets a couple years ago when they were really good. I mean, I say fringe rotation guy. He averaged 22 minutes a game across those 50 games. And remember, that was a shortened season. So he was a rotation guy when healthy for the Nuggets a couple of years ago. And his calling card is defense. Last season, he tore his ACL in December, was a rotation guy for the first 18 games of the season. Again, 19 minutes a game for Denver last year. Tore his ACL. He was traded a couple of times at the deadline because he was unable to play. So it was essentially his contract being shipped around, I think first to Boston, then to Orlando. He was subsequently waived by the Magic. And of course, he's very familiar with Tim Connelly, who brought him to Denver, signed him to a two-way deal, converted that to a standard deal a couple of years ago. And now he's yet another former Nugget that Connelly has brought on board in Minnesota to be training camp, I don't know, not fodder. That's not the right word, because he's a legit NBA player with NBA experience. Now, coming back from an ACL, almost 9 months, not even quite 9 months ago, which now is becoming maybe not quite standard, but more regular for players that come back in all sports, really. Really, from an ACL in just 9 months. But Dozier's probably not 100% yet, right? He's able to, you know, he's been cleared for full contact and all that stuff this summer. But it's going to take him a minute to get back in NBA shape. So if nothing else, this provides him the opportunity to showcase how healthy he is in training camp. If it's indeed an Exhibit 10 deal, then that will give the Wolves the option to convert him to an NBA contract or a two-way at the end of camp. More likely, he'll be waived and then brought back to the Iowa Wolves and would receive a bonus for sticking with the Iowa Wolves. He probably received a modest signing bonus to sign the Exhibit 10 deal now, and then we'll have a chance to return to the Iowa Wolves in the after training camp. Same thing with Luka Garza, who we talked about a couple weeks ago, and he was signed. And I believe CJ Elleby is the other Exhibit 10. Yeah, it's Elleby. So Elleby and Garza are your other Exhibit 10. So the Wolves have three guys with pretty extensive NBA experience. In Ellaby's case, a couple of seasons worth. Garza last year is a second round pick, played in a chunk of games with Detroit last season. And now Dozier, who's got 5 years of NBA experience, including rotation experience with the playoff team in the Nuggets. If you're not familiar with his game, he's 6'6". He's essentially a wing. He's really kind of a two guard with the ability to initiate some offense, but he's not a great shooter. So his calling card is defense. Outstanding length. He's got like a 7 foot wingspan. He's about 6'6 with a 7 foot wingspan. So outstanding length, very good athleticism. We'll see where that's at, you know, coming off the ACL tear. But last year after the Nuggets got knocked out in the playoffs, Jokic actually in his postgame press conference talked about missing, obviously, Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray. But he also brought up PJ Dozier as the other piece missing that was significant in them getting ousted from the playoffs in the second round last year because they missed his length. And Jokic is obviously a very intelligent player, one of the best two or three players in the league, you know, now a multiple-time MVP. He knows what he's talking about. And for him to call out Dozier, this is in like May last year. So a good 6 months after he tore his ACL, hadn't played for the team for 6 months, wasn't even with the organization anymore. And Jokic thought 6 months later to bring it up in the press conference, how important it was or how vital Dozier had been and how obvious it was that they were missing what he brought to the Nuggets when they lost in the playoffs. So 6'6", 7 foot wingspan, a good on-ball defender, a very good help defender, can initiate some offense. You know, the assist to turnover hasn't really been great for him. He's not a primary point guard, but he has some ability putting the ball on the floor, creating for himself and for others. Again, not a great shooter. He's like 31.9% for his career. The three-point rate's actually been pretty high the last couple of years. And you know, with Denver's offense, he was essentially a ball mover, right? Like, he would put the ball on the floor, move the ball, and like if it ended up in his hands, he'd shoot the three, but he's a below-average three-point shooter. So that's not his game at all. But if he can maintain some of that lateral quickness post-ACL surgery, he's a really nice option as a depth piece, somebody who can defend. Again, very likely he ends up in the G League, and who knows? I mean, another NBA team could come calling and want him out of the G League if he plays well in training camp preseason and in the G League season for the Iowa Wolves, or he's an option for the Wolves if they have some injury issues or make a move elsewhere. There's obviously that familiarity with Tim Connelly, and there's certainly a chance that he ends up with the Wolves at some point. But if nothing else, the Wolves have an extremely competitive training camp roster now. They have, again, three Exhibit 10 guys with NBA experience. They have two-way players, one with NBA experience and another with extensive international and G League experience, even if he's younger, in A.J. Lawson. So Eric Paschal, obviously, with tons of NBA experience. A.J. Lawson with some good G League and international experience. The Exhibit 10 guys, Ellaby, Garza, and now Dozier, all with NBA experience. I mean, the only guy in camp without NBA experience, besides Mina and Wendell Moore, is A.J. Lawson. So you're talking 20 guys in camp, 17 of them with NBA experience, and two first-round draft picks this year. And Lawson's a guy who has, in terms of young guys on a two-way deal, has some legit minutes in the G League and in Canada under his belt. So a really competitive camp for head coach Chris Finch. That's obviously what he and Tim Connelly wanted to create. And this is, again, continues to be one of the deepest rosters, if not already the deepest roster in Timberwolves history. And if you think that's an outlandish, hyperbolic statement, go back and look at the Timberwolves rosters over the entire franchise history, 30 plus years. There's not, even when they were good, even when they were making the playoffs year in and year out, losing in the first round, even when they went to the conference finals in 04, those are not deep rosters. Those are like 8 or 9 guys deep, maybe. But again, we're talking, you know, of the 15 guys on the active roster, 13 of them with pretty extensive NBA experience, plus two first round picks. That's a good roster. This is a genuinely deep roster for the Wolves. Okay, next I want to talk about a couple of guys that will be in the rotation, but maybe not see a ton of heavy minutes this year for the Wolves. Naz Reid and Jordan McLaughlin. We're going to do that next. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Rocket Money. So the other day I tried to, I guess you'd say, downgrade or cancel a portion of my DirecTV subscription. And it's a lot harder than you might think. It's not quite as simple as clicking a link or just calling. I mean, you call or you click a link, but then there's more hoops to jump through to do it. And sometimes, you know, it's easy to give up and forget about it. If they give you a free trial and you do it and then you forget to cancel, we've all been there. It's not hard to waste money on subscription. However, there's an app that shows all your subscriptions in one place and cancels what you don't want for you. And that's Rocket Money formerly known as Truebill. Rocket Money can even find subscriptions you don't know you were paying for. You may even find out you've been double charged for a subscription. To cancel a subscription, all you have to do in the Rocket Money app is press cancel and they'll take care of the rest. Cancel unnecessary subscriptions with Rocket Money today. Go to rocketmoney.com/lockedon. Again, formerly known as Truebill. They've been our friends for a while. They recently changed their name to Rocket Money. Seriously, Rocket Money can save you hundreds of dollars per year. It's rocketmoney.com/lockedon. Again, rocketmoney.com/lockedon. All right, so we're continuing the roster preview series. We've done the Exhibit 10 guys. We've talked about the two-way guys. We've talked about the end of the roster players. And now we're on to the players that I project will, more often than not, receive minutes on a nightly basis. They may receive a few DNP CDs, did not play coaches' decisions here and there, depending on matchups and things of that nature. But by and large, these two guys are going to play night in, night out for the Wolves. We'll start with Naz Reid, who I think is pretty much the 10th guy on the roster. If we're really like, if I had to assign like a ranking in terms of, you know, if you play like NBA 2K or whatever, and you can have your starters and then it's like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Like if you're literally ranking the guys in terms of how many minutes they're going to get, I'd put Naz Reid number 10. I think he's probably an 8 to 10 minutes a night guy is probably Naz Reid's role this year. And here's why. I think Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert are going to be staggered quite a bit. Karl-Anthony Towns is obviously going to start at the 4. Rudy's going to start at the 5. I think the most likely scenario is on any given night. And again, matchups and foul trouble can mess with this a little. But the ideal scenario for Chris Finch is going to be Rudy subbing out, you know, call it 4 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, somewhere from 3 to 5 minutes left in the first quarter. And Towns, he did this at times last year where he plays the entire first quarter. And then Rudy comes back in at the start of the second and Kat sits. And then, you know, at some point, middle of the second quarter, Kat comes back. And then one or both of them probably hit the bench for another rest before halftime. So that's why I'm thinking Naz's minutes might come in mid to late second quarter. Again, all things equal, if there's not major foul trouble, maybe he sees some late third quarter minutes as one of Rudy or Kat gets some rest prior to the fourth quarter, prior to crunch time. And if the Wolves want to continue playing big, I think Naz's fit with Rudy is going to be better than his fit with Towns because, again, he can replicate some of what Towns does, you know, in theory. A fraction, I guess, but his playing style is at least similar offensively to Karl-Anthony Towns. So I'm thinking it's a mid to late second quarter stint. It's probably a late third quarter, early fourth quarter stint. Maybe he's bridging late third, early fourth quarter. That might be 10 minutes a night, give or take, you know, a minute or two. So 8 to 12 minutes, probably right in that 10 minute range. The advantage that Naz has is he is, again, supposed to replicate a chunk of what Karl-Anthony Towns does. He obviously can stretch the floor. He's a pretty good passer for a big. He can play on the perimeter. He can put the ball on the floor a little bit. He can create. He's like an extremely poor man's Karl-Anthony Towns offensively, right? And he has played that role the last couple of years. It's the reason, I think, why Gerson Rosas identified him as like, hey, let's get this guy he was undrafted. Let's get him on a two-way. And then he played so well in Vegas Summer League a couple of years ago that Rosas signed him to an actual, you know, partially guaranteed NBA contract. And it was really a steal. I'm one of Naz's bigger critics. You can go back and listen to several different episodes over the past couple seasons. And I think the low rebound rate and some of the defensive issues are problems for Naz when he plays the five. But I think as a four next to Rudy Gobert, he can have some value as a short minutes player. I think he gets exposed, especially defensively, if he has to play too many minutes or if he's playing the five against a big opposing front court. So as Towns' backup, and in limited minutes behind staggering Rudy and Kat, I think there's some value there for Naz Reid. Now, Nate Knight is an insurance policy. So like if Naz isn't playing well or if the opposing team is a bit more physical, the Wolves are struggling on the glass, Nate Knight can stretch the floor enough offensively and can do enough of those things, play in the high post, pass a little bit, put the ball on the floor, not quite to the level of Naz and certainly not to the level of Towns, but he has some of those same abilities and he's a better rebounder than Naz Reid. So Naz needs to get off to a good start this season. This is my opinion. If Naz struggles early, Finch could talk himself into Nate Knight being able to do enough of what Naz can offensively and just being a better rebounder that Nate Knight could steal some of those minutes. Remember, he's not a two-way guy anymore. Knight's on the roster. And he could get the opportunity to steal some minutes from Naz Reid. So Naz has to come out and play well early this season. Naz's defensive shortcomings, and especially in pick and roll game, are still an issue. The block rate's still good. He's a pretty good help defender. But on the ball, you know, guarding on the perimeter and five out, if teams want to go five out against the Wolves offensively, which is what, of course, like teams did against Rudy and the Jazz in the playoffs, especially previously, Naz is even is far worse in space than, say, Rudy is, or even than Karl Anthony Towns. I think he's a worse pick and roll defender than Kat is in most pick and roll coverages. Again, decent off the ball, but he just gets lost in the wash in pick and roll. And, you know, some of the understanding of timing and spacing isn't there for Naz. I think he struggles sometimes, really, in every pick and roll scheme. His values as an off ball kind of shot blocker from the weak side type of a thing. And other than that, I mean, there's some issues there defensively. So I think Naz's role is reduced this year from what we've seen in past years because having Rudy and Kat, he is now truly a like a fourth big because the backup four is Kyle Anderson. We'll talk about him in more detail later this week, I think. But Naz's role is really going to kind of be that 10th man. Again, pending foul trouble. Now, his role becomes that much more important if Kat continues to be in massive foul trouble. Maybe even if Jaden McDaniels continues to be in massive foul trouble because you could see more Anderson at the three and perhaps that opens some minutes for Naz at the four. Rudy at times could get into foul trouble too with his aggressiveness on defense and playing two bigs. That could be a hindrance at times. So Naz is going to have to stay ready. I said all summer it wouldn't shock me if the Wolves traded him for a second rounder or two. That's still on the table. I think they'd have to really like what they see out of Nate Knight. And you know, there's Eric Paschal too to give you some small ball 4 minutes too. And so if they feel really good about the rest of the roster and a team comes calling that needs a center, there are teams out there that need some front court depth. Naz could be had. I still think that that's true. But he's going to be more of a 10 minute a game guy as a backup five, you know, backup four next to Rudy. It's not going to be, there's going to be some nights he doesn't play. If Rudy and Kat can stay out of foul trouble and maybe they're not playing two bigs the entire game and you can stagger him, it's possible Naz doesn't play every night. But I think he's going to be kind of that last guy regularly in the rotation for the Wolves in a bit of a smaller role than we've seen the past couple of years. And I think that's probably a good thing. It speaks to the depth of this team and the improvement in that regard. You know, the improvement in terms of depth that the Wolves have this year over the past several seasons. All right. We'll close the show here today by talking about Jordan McLaughlin. Jordan McLaughlin is one of the better stories, I think, in the NBA. One of the few guys who's, I mean, think about it. Like, he's a Power 5 conference guy, a solid basketball, well, not as much recently, but a decent basketball program in USC. Started 4 years at USC, undrafted, spends an entire season in the G League, forces his way onto the Timberwolves roster as a two-way guy, has to sign a second two-way deal when nobody signs him coming out of the COVID year, and then ends up in restricted free agency, doesn't get a deal, finally signs after training camp started last year, I believe. It was like right after training camp and media day and all that. And now Jordan McLaughlin's on an NBA deal. He ends up playing crunch time playoff minutes in an elimination game last year because D'Angelo Russell played so poorly. And Chris Finch trusted Jordan McLaughlin to run the Timberwolves offense, to get the ball in the hands of Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, the guys that were going to need to try and score in crunch time of an elimination game. McLaughlin's come a long ways. And he is a really, really fun story. I think he's probably about the ninth guy in the Wolves rotation this year. I think he'll play most games similar to Naz Reid. I think the best way to describe his role is as the primary backup point guard. On average, it's probably 12, max 14 minutes a night. I think that at times, Anthony Edwards and Jalen Noel are going to be the ones operating the second team offense. They're both options. If the Wolves are needing some offense, say they're trailing in a game, Chris Finch can go to Jalen Noel to initiate second team offense. He could stagger Ant with the reserves and allow him to initiate offense if the Wolves need points. If it's third quarter, you know, McLaughlin may play in the first half of every game, but if the Wolves are trailing in the second half, McLaughlin's not scoring you a ton of points. He's more of the steady hand, a solid defender, mostly a solid steady hand offensively, a below average shooter in general, although he improved last season. So if the Wolves are trailing, it could be Ant, it could be Noel, it could even be Austin Rivers. Those are the guys that might see those minutes. But if the Wolves are ahead, Jordan McLaughlin's the steady hand that can guide this team to a win when you don't need a bunch of points out of that spot. You just need someone to be the straw that stirs the drink. You need someone to not turn the ball over. You know, Noel doesn't do a ton of that. Ant does at times. But McLaughlin's assist, remember that streak he had last year? It was like, I think it was like 55 assists to one turnover from the start of January to the start of March. Something just crazy, right? It was right along those lines. An assist to turnover ratio that rivals Tyus Jones, who was a legend, is a legend for that, was in a Timberwolves uniform and continues to be in a Memphis Grizzlies uniform. But because McLaughlin, even though he's undersized, he's a decent enough defender. He's a steady hand, great assist to turnover ratio, a good enough shooter, you know, a good cutter, all those things. And he played well with D'Angelo Russell. We saw that at times last year too. I think he's a nice fallback option if D'Lo struggles. But I think he's like a 12 to 14 minutes per game guy and plays more if the team is leading. I think he plays less if the team's trailing. And that's kind of the way this roster was constructed, is to have some of these different options to go different directions if needed. If the, you know, to borrow a football term, depending on what the game script is calling for, the game script could dictate what this bench rotation looks like. And I think McLaughlin's your, you know, again, football season. If, you know, you need your 4 minute offense because you're winning with 4 minutes left in a football game and you have, you're trying to run the ball to run the clock. Jordan McLaughlin is the equivalent of that, right? He's the equivalent of, he'll take care of the ball, he'll make the right read, he'll operate pick and roll, he can knock down a three at a slightly below average league rate. He can be a good enough defender, provide resistance, pressure three quarters court, even though he's not really big, he's not an outstanding defender, but he's solid enough on both ends of the floor that he can help you maintain that lead in the second half of games. So I think game script is going to dictate how much he plays. He is probably ninth in this rotation if I had to put a number on it. But he's got an NBA job now. He's got a guaranteed deal. I'll also mention Austin Rivers. I talked about him extensively on Friday's show because I think he's probably about the 11th or 12th guy on the roster. But Rivers has obviously more size. He's a little bit of a better offensive player. Because of his size, he has more to offer defensively. I think McLaughlin's still the better point guard. Rivers is still more of a combo guard with size. And Rivers isn't that much better offensively that he's going to see minutes ahead of McLaughlin. I still think McLaughlin's the primary backup point guard, but Rivers is an option if they need more size, depending on the situation. If McLaughlin's not playing well, and we've seen him go through those funks in the past, Rivers is kind of the backup option. Just like I mentioned, Nate Knight is a backup option to Naz Reid. I think Rivers is essentially that for Jordan McLaughlin. So I think McLaughlin's the ninth guy. I think he plays more often than not. And again, I think it just depends on how the Wolves are playing and what the game situation and score looks like that will determine how many minutes he plays on any given night. But good for Jordan McLaughlin to get this to get a guaranteed NBA contract, to have a role on a team that's going to be expected to be a playoff team fighting for home court advantage in the playoffs this year. And it continues to be a really fun story. All right, the rest of the week, we're going to get into the meat of the rotation, the top eight guys in the Wolves rotation. We'll spend a bit more time on each of these players instead of just doing like 8 minutes on each player. We'll do like at least half a show on the next couple of guys. And the next week, we'll do entire shows on the bigger names of the Wolves roster, what they did last season, what their expectations are this season. And we're a week away from Media Day. A week from today's Media Day, a week from tomorrow is the start of training camp, if I have my dates correct. And we're just a couple of weeks, or I guess maybe now 3 weeks away from the first preseason game. So it's happening quick. The Wolves just announced an open to the public practice on October 1st at Target Center. The statement jerseys were released last week, and I think they look great. It's always hard to tell until they're actually on the court, but I really like them. The black jerseys with the neon highlights and the Timberwolves across the chest instead of just Wolves. I think they're really nice. So a lot of exciting news kind of rolling out of Target Center, and of course Rudy on Sunday playing in the Eurobasket final. So it's becoming basketball season. This is our last week of three shows a week. Next week we'll be back to daily Monday through Friday. So you know, make sure you're following and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. And a big thank you if you do make Locked On Wolves your first listen every single day. A reminder, if you watch on YouTube, please subscribe, like the video, comment below. If you listen on Apple, please help us out with a review, hopefully a positive review. That definitely helps us. You know, give it 5 stars if you like the show. Greatly appreciate it, sincerely. Also, you can find us anywhere else if you'd like to listen on any other platforms. You can also follow on Twitter at Lockdown T-Wolves and at BBeacon. And again, that's with 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Lockdown Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Also, Go make the NBA Top 50 on Locked On NBA your second listen. Which NBA player moves the betting line the most this season? Locked On and the Bet Online Odds Makers present the NBA Top 50 Most Valuable Players. You can find it on Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts, plus on YouTube. And there were three Timberwolves players, spoiler, listed in the Top 50 Most Valuable Players according to Bet Online and the Locked On NBA folks. I gave my two cents. We're going to be releasing videos from each of the Locked On hosts. There's a couple of Wolves players that were ranked a bit too low. So pay attention to that, and you'll hear my thoughts on it as they go through that entire list. All right, that's all I have for today. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.